You're listening to 90.3 Near FM, Northside Today. Johnny here, and that was ABC, When Smokey Sings. Now I'm joined with Colm Ryder. He's from Dublin Cycling Campaign, and he's going to be talking about a number of current issues for cyclists. Good morning, Colm, and thanks for joining us today.
Johnny, lovely to be talking to you again.
Likewise, always a pleasure talking with you. Colm, cyclist.ie, they recently delivered a submission to the Department of Transport, Tourism and Sport concerning the use of e-scooters and personal powered transport, which I'll phrase as PPTs for the rest of the interview here, just to keep it short. What are Dublin Cycling Campaign's views on the increased use of this form of transport?
Overall, we in cyclist.ie, the national body, and the Dublin Cycling Campaign, the Dublin-based member of the national body, we're in favour of them, like, because essentially it's taking it can enable people to travel around in a much smaller vehicle, to take up less space on the road, to be more effective in getting from A to B. They're more economical. PPTs, as they call them, are e-scooters. Look, it's just it's a lovely way to travel around. It's a new way of being mobile in the city, and it reduces congestion overall. They're less noisy. They're definitely more environmentally friendly. So, like, we as cyclists are very much in favour of them.
All right. What's your view on having some form of, registration or plate marking for PPTs?
I think PPTs are like, it depends very much on the actual vehicles themselves. They're like motorbikes, they can travel any speed. So motorbikes need to be registered. They are very fast vehicles. There's a situation like e-bikes, as they call them, electric bikes, which can only travel up to have a maximum speed of 25 kilometres an hour. So they do not require registration. And the same basically rules should apply, we feel, to e-scooters and these so-called PPTs.
Should there be a minimum age for the use of PPTs?
That's a question really we haven't looked at in detail, but certainly it's something, they're very easy to operate. They are operated in other cities, and there is no, as far as we are aware, no major age restriction on them. They're not that hugely different from personal scooters that you can just push with your leg. It's just a case of that you hop on and turn a handle instead of actually pushing with your leg. So they're very similar to old style scooters.
Okay, and what's your view on having some form of license covering their use?
In terms of e-scooters which have a speed limit on them, in other words, a limiter on the actual machine themselves, we wouldn't be in favour. They don't need to have a registration. It's a bit like just having an ordinary bicycle. You don't need a registration for that as well. It's not a fast vehicle. It's not going to be out there in the middle of the road. It's not going to be competing with major traffic in terms of speeds on the road. It's only when you have vehicles that are going over 25, 30 kilometres an hour, that's when you really need registration.
So you'd probably say the same thing for third-party liability insurance as well?
Yes, very much so, yes.
All right.
Okay. Similar to bicycles, it's what... It just makes sense in terms of, first of all, encouraging people to have a more sensitive and environmentally friendly mode of transport.
Okay. Should they be allowed for use on footpaths? What's your view on that?
They're a bit like bicycles. Bicycles are not, you're not allowed to cycle a bicycle on a footpath. That's the law. That's what it says, even though the law is often understood or it's recognised more in the breach than the observance, shall we say, particularly where we're talking about children. I mean, it is children cycle on the footpath because it's the only safe place at times that people can do it. So it's one of those difficult ones. But if there's proper infrastructure around the city, around in any location, then you don't need to cycle on or be on an e-scooter on the footpath.
Okay, so you'd probably say the same for, use on cycle lanes, bus lanes and normal traffic lanes as well. Should there be a maximum speed limit, though,
Well, as I've kind of stated already, 25 kilometres an hour is a kind of recognised European limit for both e-bikes and e-scooters, so that they have them in the same category as ordinary bicycles.
Okay.
So 25 kilometres an hour.
I understand. Should it be compulsory, though, for them, their users to wear protective headgear and, high visibility clothing? Or do you feel the same rules as for cyclists can apply?
We would essentially say yes, same rules should apply as for cyclists, that you've got to be, certainly if you're travelling in dark conditions at night or in poor lighting conditions, you certainly need lights, you need back and front lights, you just need to be well lit up. In terms of helmet protection at low speeds, generally, it's a personal choice, and cyclists make a personal choice. It's not obligatory to wear helmets. We feel the same should apply to e-scooters.
All right. And what's your view on having, you know, rules of the road introduced into the school curriculum?
Well, the rules of the road are, I mean, it's an interesting one, and they certainly years ago that they used to do it in school, certainly even when I was in school as a kid, you know, we got some basic rules of the road, and a lot of schools do it, and you know that, you know, where they operate as traffic wardens in some schools, that the kids in the school are trained to do it, and they're trained to understand how traffic works. It's always a useful thing to do, whether it's part of a formal part of the curriculum, and we're not really sure on that at all. And I think somebody more used to dealing with schools and curriculum could answer that question better.
All right, okay. Just to change the subject a bit, you've been campaigning for more people to be able to cycle to school with their children. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, there's been some great initiatives here in Ireland, but that's on foot of a lot of things that are happening in other countries. We call them cycle buses, because the fact is that less and less children are getting up on their bikes nowadays, being active generally. There's problems with child obesity. There's problems with children being driven to school, to the school gate. It's a huge issue. You may know at school gates, like where cars are bundling up together and they're trying to get their kids out, and it causes all sorts of problems with pollution, with air pollution, with noise pollution, sometimes with slight accidents. And we have been, to a number of our groups around the country, have been working to put together what we call cycle buses, where parents cycle with kids on a route to the school. They pick up children at different points, and they all cycle together for safety to the school. Now this there's a recent initiative in Malahide by Fingal County Council, which is the first in the Dublin area as far as we are aware, where they're literally banning traffic from outside this particular school in Malahide. And because the traffic has just become horrendous, and it's very, very difficult. And now it's enabling more and more children and their parents to walk and cycle to school. In other words, it's a good initiative just to get people out and about. And all around the country, initially in Galway, there's a very strong cycle bus. Limerick has a cycle bus where kids are being taken on their bikes to school on a daily basis by their parents, and being kept safe by their parents, and sometimes in very hostile conditions with traffic, because they're a lot of the time, most of the time, in fact, they're just the infrastructure is just not there to actually allow your kid to cycle safely on the roads, and unfortunately, they have to be protected by adults.
Yes, I understand. It all sounds a great idea, though. And recent good news that the new walking and cycling bridges on North Quays, beside the convention centre, it's almost complete. Tell us a bit more about it.
Yes, that's been, it's part of the overall, what they call the Liffey cycle route. It's an early part that is being done to facilitate the final completion of the route along the Liffey. And it's just, it's at a particular point where the Royal Canal enters the Liffey. And there is an industrial bridge there, which for historical reasons will not be removed. So the roadway itself is quite narrow at that point. And just putting on these new bridges, both there's a walking bridge and there's a cycling bridge, two separate beside each other, and it's certainly going to facilitate the movement of pedestrians and cyclists along the Liffey itself, the name of the bridge has just escaped me now, the major bridge across the Liffey, one of the modern ones, but outside the convention centre. And it's a lovely little initiative, and it's going to facilitate the long-term development of the Liffey cycle route and the Liffey walking route.
Any idea when they might be ready?
Oh, they are due to be ready very soon. We understand that certainly before Christmas we expect them to be opened.
Oh, that sounds excellent. And there's also been a significant progress on the Royal Canal Greenway between Sheriff Street and North Strand. That's another one, isn't it?
Yeah, there's certainly it will be opened very early in the new year. They're like Sheriff Street to the North Strand, and it's been a very long process in making this happen. There was a lot of consultation with the communities, with groups like ourselves and Dublin Cycling Campaign over the years, in trying to get a good route from along the canal. And the idea, of course, eventually is to run a route along the Royal Canal all the way to the Shannon, and that's been actually opened up in various parts of the country, but still the area in Dublin is not fully finished yet, and that's there's a fair bit of work on that. In this particular case, along this short stretch from Sherriff Street to the Royal Canal, it was a derelict area, very difficult. You couldn't get into it, essentially. And there's also a crossing of a railway and a crossing of another minor canal, so there's a new bridge being developed. It's and a new linear park. It's going to be wonderful, and it's due to open in the first quarter of next year. So we're delighted like that this has eventually progressed, and it is part of the long-term Royal Canal cycle and walking route.
Yeah, sounds excellent. And the new Baldoyle to Portmarnock Greenway, that's almost complete as well. Unless, of course, it has been completed in the last week or so, if you're aware.
It's getting very close to it. I haven't got the actual news from Fingal County Council this year, but I was up there about 2 weeks ago and looking at the progress on it. And there are always minor snags that sometimes delay the opening of these routes, but it's going to be a lovely route both for walking and cycling, because they're, in particular, if any of your listeners, I'm sure there are some of them who know that roadway between Sutton essentially and Portmarnock, that along the coast. It's a narrow, very busy road, very fast traffic. There's no room for pedestrians to walk along the road. It's very dangerous for cyclists as well. So this new walking and cycling route along the road, beside the roadway, will actually just make a huge difference for people to get around that area.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's actually a very dangerous road for walking. Somebody with a pram and a child, even. There's no footpath. And even the bit of footpath that is there, it's so narrow, you couldn't have two people walking beside each other. It's quite dangerous.
Yes.
There's also a new law, I believe, to combat dangerous overtaking of cyclists. And that's set to be introduced shortly. Tell us more about that. It's all about giving stiff fines and penalty points for motorists.
Yes, there's been a particular campaigner from a member of one of our groups down in Wexford, a guy called Phil Skelton, who has been the main campaigner on this, on a law for safe overtaking of cyclists, because over the past there have been over 40 cyclists, killed on the roads, generally by other vehicles, and often trucks, but also private cars. In the past 5 years, it's a frightening number as far as we're concerned as cyclists, as vulnerable road users, and it's just in terms of a law being brought in. We've been campaigning for motors to be more aware of cyclists on the road and to give more space and not be in such, be patient in terms of passing out cyclists and giving that space. So the law is basically saying, look, you must give space to cyclists, and you must be careful passing cyclists. Otherwise, you're liable to a fine of up to €120.
Yeah. Would you foresee any difficulties in trying to measure the overtaking distance for prosecuting, any motorist?
It's certainly something that will possibly be tested in the courts. But the issue is just getting out the word there. Look, you've got to be, the drivers have got to be more careful when overtaking people, like even pedestrians, but also particularly cyclists on the road. They just got to be aware, and drivers have got to be aware. Don't always be rushing to go from A to B. Take your time and be careful overtaking cyclists. Because even when you're close to a cyclist, the wind that this creates, when you're passing out a cyclist, it actually can be frightening for the cyclist to get that wind. It puts them off balance if you're very close and you're traveling quite fast. So you've got to be careful in terms of your speed and in terms of the distance that's between you and the cyclist.
Yes, Colm, I understand. And finally, bicycle retail and repair shops. Tell us your opinion. Do we have enough of them in Dublin?
Well, there was a huge growth in bicycle shops following the introduction of tax incentives for buying a new bike. And it certainly has helped. But now, just in general, there are quite a few bike shops around, but we are getting stories from some of the retailers that some of them are actually closing. The business is not the same as it was. But we are hopeful that certainly business will build up again, that people become, when we get better infrastructure in Dublin, that more people will buy bikes, that more people will be on bikes, and that there will be more business for bicycle shops generally. And I think it's just important that we want to get people on bikes, that they have somewhere close by that can get their bikes repaired, that they can exchange bikes, get a new bike. That's a really important issue.
I'm thinking in terms of, when somebody gets a puncture, they've got quite a distance to walk with the bike in order to get it fixed. no taxi man is going to take the bike in the back of the taxi either. So it can be quite difficult if there aren't enough retails, you know, or repair shops to deal with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've been trying to get Dublin City Council to do is to install certain mini bike repair units along the roadway. And I think as the new cycle network is being run out, is being built within the city, these are the kind of things that are standard. Like there's a pump and there's a mini repair kit like along the side of the road at a station. It's a bit like having an electric charging station for a car. This would be a mini repair station for bicycles, and they're common in other cities around Europe. And there's one, for instance, in the car park and bicycle park in Drury Street. At the moment, it's just very handy when something happens to your bike, your tires are flat, or you need to pump your wheels up. They're the kind of things that are very useful for our cyclists generally getting around the city. And if there's more of them, obviously it'll encourage more people to cycle, and they know that they can get there safely and not be affected by flat tires or by punctures.
Excellent. Right, so we're going to leave it at that, Colm. Thanks again for joining us.
And there's just one or two other things maybe I'd like to...
Oh, yes, of course. Absolutely.
Your listeners.
Yes, please do.
We in Dublin Cycling Campaign, and both in both north side and south side of the city, we've been giving out, and we would encourage all cyclists to make sure to have lights on their bicycles in these dark nights. It's just really important in the winter nights. And together with the Road Safety Authority, we have been launching a campaign, Light Up Your Bike. You will see it on our social media pages. Overall, we've been giving out free bike lights on the north side of the city, on the south side of the city overall. And it's just next week, we'll be giving out, with the Lord Mayor of Dublin, we'll be giving out free bike lights at Christchurch at 5 o'clock next Tuesday at the Christchurch Junction. So if any cyclists, any of your listeners are passing by on their bikes and they need bicycle lights, please stop by, and we shall be handing out free bike lights together with the Lord Mayor of Dublin.
That sounds excellent. Yes, I'll be there myself, Colm.
Good man. And there's just two. Yesterday we were in front of the Dáil Committee on Transport and talking about cycling and how to increase cycling and how to make cycling safer and better in the cities. And it's the first time that we saw this meeting presentation before the Dáil Committee. And certainly the things are changing in terms of what the government are perceiving in terms of cycling and walking and how, as an important transport initiative for the country overall, that people need to get out there more and more and be active on bikes and on walking generally. So it's something that is really positive. And this morning, the Department of Transport have started a consultation. There is a major conference, workshops on sustainable mobility, which is the beginning of a process. So if any of your listeners want to actually input into this process, they can go on the Department of website, the Department of Transport's website, that's dttas.ie, and check out this consultation process and input into it and give their views.
Absolutely wonderful. Colm, thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk again soon, and all the very best to you, and take care.
Thanks very much, Johnny. Really appreciate it.
Take care. All the best. Now, that was Colm Ryder from Dublin Cycling Campaign. He was talking about a number of current issues for cyclists in Ireland.